Okay, yeah, I hope you don't mind me sitting down here. I've got some broken ribs and a broken collarbone, so it's hard to breathe deep. She said I couldn't yell this morning. I couldn't talk loud. How's that? So, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go on in our study of the Hebrew epistles, and we've worked our way now over to 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And what we want to do is we want to do an overview of these epistles. There's a great deal of discussion and misunderstanding that surrounds 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And in particular, in 1st John, about the whole issue of confession of sins and restoration to fellowship, that type of thing. In order for us to appreciate how to deal with that aspect of 1 John, we need to make sure we understand who John's writing to and what he's writing about. If you'll open up then in your Bibles to 1 John, chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1. 1 John, chapter number 1 here. Who remembers what Galatians 2... Is that, are we okay on that? Who remembers what Galatians 2 teaches us regarding who John is an apostle to? The circumcision. Well, why would we say that?
That's from 2:6-9.
That what?
They would go to the circumcision.
That's correct. Exactly correct. Because a lot of times when you're talking to somebody about 1 John, or even John for that matter, they'll say, well, isn't 1 John written to us? And what you want to do is you want to remember that according to Galatians chapter number 2, James, Cephas, and John, they are the apostles of the circumcision. And that same sequence, you've got James, Peter, and John here in the Hebrew epistles. John is writing to the same audience as Peter, same audience as James. He's writing to Israel. And so that's number one. You want to keep that in mind. And you can see the purpose of the book identified just in the first few verses here. It's amazing here. Look over to 1 John chapter 1 again. Watch what he does here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. We're going to come back to those two verses in just a moment here. And now watch verse 3. Verse 3 is the point of the whole book. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That verse right there is the purpose of the book. It is to identify what the true fellowship is and who's in the true fellowship. Look how he says it there at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now stop there just for a moment. Fellowship with us, well, why? What difference would that make? Remember, John is writing to Israel. He's a circumcision apostle. And when he says there that ye also may have fellowship with us, what's the implication?
That
there's two different fellowships, and which one's correct?
Us.
The us there. See, the implication is, in 1 John here, is that there's the two different fellowships. There's the true fellowship, and then there's this counterfeit fellowship. If you will think of the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the wheat and the tares, when the Lord sowed wheat into the field, but while men slept, an enemy came in and sowed tares where? Among the wheat. And the question was, should we go and pull the tares up? And who remembers what the Lord says?
Yeah.
Let them both grow together. Why? Why don't go pull them up right then and there? That's correct. Let them both grow together until the harvest. So what's going to happen is that within the nation of Israel, you're going to have the believing remnant, that's the wheat, but you're going to have the tares as well, sown by the adversary, where? Among the believing remnant. So how is the believing remnant going to be able to know who the wheat as compared to the tares really are? Doctrine is correct. And what doctrine specifically? What's that?
By who the leaders were supposed to
follow? Yes, that's true too. But what you're going to see is in 1 John, John gives them, the best way to say it is, John gives them a series of tests, checkpoints, you might say, tests, where they can quite simply determine who is a true believer as compared to not a true believer. And so he starts the book by indicating where the true fellowship is. Look at what it says at verse 3 again there. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Again, the implication is that they're in the true fellowship. John, his group is the true fellowship. And look how he elaborates on that. And truly our fellowship, the one John's in, the one he's inviting them to be a part of, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. See that? There's a counterfeit fellowship that's going on. If you look a little bit further in the book, look over to chapter 5, for example. Look over to chapter number 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you look back a little bit further into chapter number 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. See how it's cut and dry there? It's just absolutely cut and dry. It's not emotional. It's just the fact. There are these two fellowships that are going to be in existence at that time in the tribulation period. The one group is going to be professing that Jesus is the Christ, and hence that they're in the true fellowship with the Father. The other group is going to be like the scribes and Pharisees. They said God was their father. Remember that? Christ told them. He said, you claim that God is your father. You say you're Abraham's seed, but you go back to kill me. Abraham didn't do this. And so you've got this other group out there. They're denying that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ because there's this other Christ that is on the scene. There's this other individual on the scene. So you have these two groups, these two fellowships that are happening. Go back to chapter number 1 of John. Go back to chapter number 1. And again, I want to emphasize verse 3. Verse 3 is the point of the book. Verse 3 is the point of the book. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John writes the book to be able to equip the believing remnant as to how to know if somebody else is in the true fellowship. Now, he starts in chapter number 1 by telling any of the Hebrews actually how to get into the fellowship. If you'll look over to chapter number 2 here, verse 1. Here he says, chapter 2 is a little different than verse 1. He says, what? My what? My little children. Look at verse 12. I write unto you what? Little children. Verse 13. I write unto you... Okay, see that? Fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men. See the three groups there? You've got little children, fathers, young men. Watch them do it again. Again, verse 13. I write unto you fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Now here it is again. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, and so on. See those three groups there? These are people who are believers. They are part of the remnant. And they're three stages of edification, three stages of maturity that they're going through at this time. You've got the little children, you've got the fathers, and you've got the young men. Or, in sequence, the little children, the young men, the fathers, and so forth. All right? Now, so in chapter number one, he starts off by identifying the purpose of the book is to equip them to understand where the true fellowship is. The second part of chapter number one tells any of the Hebrews how to get into the true fellowship if they're not in it. And then in chapter number two, he's going to explain to the believing remnant, those that are in the fellowship, he's going to give them a series of tests by which any of them can determine whether they're the wheat or the tares. And here's how you see these tests. Here's how you...
The same as knowing whether or not they're in the light or the dark?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is, yeah. So let's go back to chapter number one, and you actually see the first series of tests in chapter number one. The first series of tests has to do with the gospel in that day, the gospel of the kingdom, how to get in the little flock. So, look at verse 4 now. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message. Okay, here it is. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, why tell us that? Why tell us that? In the Bible, when you see darkness, what is it always a reference to?
Evil,
Satan, his policy of evil, his kingdom. And so when John tells us that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, what's John telling his audience here? What's he setting in contrast here? Exactly. You've got the truth and the lie. You've got the light and the darkness. You've got the true fellowship and the counterfeit fellowship. And you're going to see that repeated just time and time again in various different tests all throughout the book of 1 John. Here comes the first one. Verse 6. And see how it starts? What's the first word there? Here's the first test. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and isn't that what the Pharisees said? Remember that? Isn't that what the unbelievers in the nation of Israel said? They said they were of their Father. They said they were following God by serving, doing what Moses told them to do. They said they were in the true fellowship. He says at verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk where? In darkness. Then did they pass or fail the test? See that? We lie and do not the truth. Now verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then what's true? Then they're in the true fellowship. See that? We're in the true fellowship. It says we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's test number one. And that is, when he talks about the idea of if we say that we have fellowship and walk in darkness, and then verse 7, walk in light, understand that the issue in these two verses, it's not a question of conduct. It's a question of identity. See, most people read that as conduct. But those verses are not a question of conduct. They're a question of location. It's not a question of how somebody's living their life. It's a question of where they are. They're either in the darkness or they're in the light. They're in Satan's kingdom or they're in God's kingdom. That's the issue in those verses.
And light and darkness is not knowledge or lack of knowledge. It's evil or good.
No.
I mean, like you could say you're in darkness because you don't know.
Yeah, it's truth or the lie. Because remember, in the Bible, you can have human evil and human good, and it all be of the lie program. So what I'm saying is that the contrast is light and darkness. True fellowship, counterfeit fellowship. The truth program, the lie program. That's what it is. So when he says here at verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, but the problem is they're walking where? They're in Satan's program. These aren't justified people. They're not part of the believing remnant. Well, then they're lying. They don't have the truth. See how it says there? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. It's not an issue of how they walk, but where they walk. The issue is position, not practice. The issue is identity, not conduct. Now, let me demonstrate that if I can. Go with me, if you would, over to... Put a marker there, of course. But let me give you an idea here. Go over to Matthew 6. I'm going to try to demonstrate this several ways. Because, again, most of the time that when people read 1 John chapter number 1, that issue of walking in the light and walking in darkness, they usually read it in terms of conduct. Let me give you a little illustration of the idea of light and darkness here. Look over to Matthew 6:22. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of what?" Okay, so what did he just contrast? Okay, he contrasts light and darkness. Light and darkness. Two different kinds of eyes. He makes a parallel with, just like the physical body, the light of the physical body is the eye. That's how you see, obviously. Well, there's some information that enables the spiritual part of somebody to see something. But look at what he says at the end of that verse, 23.
In that verse that just went through there, it says, if thy eye be single, does that mean like focused or what?
No. Well, let's keep reading it and we'll see. Because look at verse 23 again. Look at verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be what? Be what? How can light be darkness? It's not light at all. See, when he says, if the light that is in you, if the information that is in you, if the doctrine that's in you, if it's Satan's doctrine, it's darkness. So if that's all the light you have, then how great is that darkness? You see the verse?
Is this kind of an example, as you mentioned earlier, of human good?
Yes, it would be that. Because the scribes and Pharisees on the outside, remember, they had all the human good, but inside they're dead men's bones. So now back to Mike's question. But before we get to Mike's question about the eye and the focused and so forth, does everybody understand the last sentence of verse 23? Look at that sentence there. If therefore the light that is in you, if the doctrine that's in you is darkness. See, light in that verse is a reference to doctrine, right? If the light that's in you, if the doctrine that's in you is darkness, it's Satan's information, then how great is that darkness? So, the light and the darkness. You've got God's truth, Satan's lie. If the light that is in a lost person is Satan's lie, then how great is that darkness? So now go back to...
I think I already seen the answer.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Two masters. One master or not. You can't share two masters.
Right. They're either in the true fellowship or they're in the false fellowship. They've either trusted Christ as the Messiah or they have not. Okay? See that there? And it's interesting, I'll get you to a second, Beth, but when he says at verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, and then if you make the comparison with verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, the singleness of the eye is the idea of you've trusted Christ as the Messiah. That's the truth program. That's the true light. But the evil is they're rejecting Christ as the Messiah. Well, then the light that's in them is what? It's darkness. It's Satan's program. See that there? Go with me to John 8 here. Look over to John chapter 8 here. The Gospel of John. Yeah. John 8, there's a number of things in John 8 and John 10 that parallel 1 John. And you'll see immediately this one here. And Beth, I know you had a question. We'll get back to you in just a second. Look at John 8, 12. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, that's an interesting verse and an interesting statement, because when he says, I am the light of this world, I mean, he's not going around shining like the sun where they have to wear sunglasses. So what does he mean, I am the light of the world? What's he mean there?
The knowledge, the truth.
And not just the knowledge, but what knowledge?
Identity.
The truth. The truth. Because Satan has knowledge, but it's the lie knowledge. Christ is the light of the world. And let's keep reading now. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not do what? He's not going to be in Satan's program. But he shall have the light of what? See that? He shall have the light of life. True life brings light. Can I ask it this way? This is a parallel. When you got saved, when you trusted Jesus Christ for your personal Savior, was it kind of like a light went on? I absolutely know it was for me. All of a sudden there was an awareness there of things. That's the light of possessing eternal life, which I did not have before I was saved. And that's an interesting phrase there when he says, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He's not going to be in Satan's program anymore. Why? Because he has the light of what? That guy's got eternal life now. The light that's in this guy is not darkness, like the one in Matthew 6. The light in this guy is the light of life. If you'll take that phrase there, the light of life, keep that in mind in just a moment. We'll get back to, in fact, let's do it now so I don't forget. That little phrase there, the light of life. Now go back to 1 John, but we're going to come back to John here in just a moment. Go back to 1 John here. Watch this. 1 John chapter 1, first verse. Have you ever wondered why it is that John starts off his epistle here with... Now the word that's not a personal pronoun, is it? What is it? I need some help from the English teachers here. The word that, what is it? What kind of a word is it? What's that? Yeah, it's not a personal pronoun. He starts the book with that which was from the beginning. Well, what was from the beginning? The light, which is life. See that? The light which is life. It's obviously a person. He's going to tell you that in just a second. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take John 1:1 with this verse, you put them together and you understand, like in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word. And then look how he says it here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of what? The Word of life. See the connection? That's why he starts with the issue of that. Because he's taking your attention back to, in the beginning was the Word. And then he clarifies it, he amplifies it in verse 2 in the parentheses here. For the what? The life was meant. What life? See it, verse 2? For the life was manifested. What life was manifested? The life of Christ. God's life. God's life, His kind of life, was absolutely manifested in the Son of God. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ when asked by Philip, Lord, show us the Father. And Philip says, have I been so long time with you? And how sayest thou, show us the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. That life of God that was from the beginning, that was God and was with God, they saw it. They handled it. They touched it. They heard it. And therefore they could give testimony and witness to that. And they're inviting Israel to be a part of that fellowship. See verse 2 again. For the life was manifested, which we have, and we have seen it and heard and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Jump back into verse 6. So if God is light, and if that light is life, God's kind of life, then if somebody comes along, verse 6, and they say that they have fellowship with God, who is life and light, and in whom is no darkness at all, if they say they have fellowship with Him, but they walk in darkness, well then, how can it be true that they have fellowship with the Father? They don't. They're not justified people. They haven't come to trust Christ as the Messiah. Because remember, Christ said, if the light that's in you is darkness, you don't belong to me. How great is that darkness? See what's going on there? So there's a guy in verse 6 who professes to be in fellowship with the Father, but he's not. He's in darkness. He's in Satan's kingdom. By contrast, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He, Christ, is in the light. See why I say it's not an issue of conduct, but of location. Understand that? Any questions on that? It's not an issue of conduct or practice. It's an issue of location, an issue of identification. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, for at this point in time, were they doing animal sacrifice?
No, because by this point in... You mean when he's writing this book, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, they would have had the book of Hebrews already by this point, and they would have realized that that whole sacrificial system had been resurrected by the Antichrist, the believing remnant, I should say. And they would have withdrawn from that.
And the mark of the beast didn't come until Revelation.
But it is going to come in this book. You're going to see it in chapter 5 in this book right here. Yeah, yeah. And again, these books have their doctrinal, specific doctrinal application in the tribulation period. Okay? Alright, so again at verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hold 1 John and go back to John 8. Remember I told you that John 8 is kind of a parallel of a lot of the things that are said here. Go back over to John chapter 8. Alright, look at John chapter 8 here. And you're going to see the two groups pretty clearly here. John 8, and look at verse 12 again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now here's the other group. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Now how come they couldn't tell who he was, where he came from, and where he was going to go? Because they were in darkness. Exactly. They did not have sound doctrine in them upon which to decide and evaluate his claims to being from the Father. Keep reading. He says, verse 15, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. See how Christ there claims to be in total, complete union and fellowship with the Father. It says, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Well, how come they don't know, by the way? Because they're in darkness. The reason they don't know where his Father is because they don't know him. He says, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father." Now look at the next phrase here. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." See, the reason they didn't know Christ is because they didn't know the Father. And the reason they didn't know the Father is because they did not have sound doctrine residing in them. The light that was in them was darkness. They didn't have the truth of God in them upon which to evaluate the claims of Christ to determine whether or not He really was the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. All right? Well, you can go back with me then to 1 John now. Go back to 1 John. Go back to 1 John here. Okay, so verse 6 and 7. In fact, you know what? While you're doing that, go to Acts 26. Go to Acts 26. And get Colossians 1. Go Acts 26 and Colossians 1 here. I want you to see that this issue of light and darkness is a reference to they're either part of Satan or part of God. Look at Acts 26, 17. Acts 26, 17. Acts 26, 17, and it says this. It says, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God." Darkness in the Bible is always a reference to Satan and his kingdom. Okay? That issue, you to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan. The issue of walking in darkness is a reference to belonging to Satan. The issue of walking in light is a reference to belonging to God. Go to Colossians chapter number 1. Another parallel here. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 13. And actually, look at verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints that are where?" They're in light. That's where you are. And then it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Point is simply being this. Go back to 1 John chapter 1. There's these two fellowships, the true fellowship, the counterfeit fellowship. The true fellowship is the true fellowship because they are in the light. The counterfeit fellowship is the false fellowship because they are in darkness. If somebody comes along and says, in that tribulation period out there, that we are in true fellowship with the Father, it's real easy to determine whether or not they are. If they are denying that Jesus is the Christ, where are they? They're in the darkness. If they're saying Jesus of Nazareth, who lived and died 2,000 years ago, rose from the dead and so forth, that is the Christ, where are they? They're in the true fellowship. Now, what do you do with somebody who is not in the true fellowship? Can they ever get in the true fellowship? Yes. Look at verse 8, 9, and 10. That's what these three verses are about. If we say, I'm at verse 8, 9, and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and what's not in us? See, that the truth. That guy, where is that guy? Light or in darkness? True fellowship or counterfeit fellowship? False fellowship, exactly correct. There's a guy, like the Pharisees, who said about the Lord, "We be not born of fornication," implying that they believed that the Lord was born of fornication. "We have no sin." Remember the Pharisees said that kind of thing? But now you got a guy, he's going to tell them at verse 9, how to become a part of the true fellowship. If we confess our sins, here's what He will do. He is faithful and just to to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's how a guy gets in the true fellowship, right there. He confesses his sins. Now, is confession of sins something that's brand new introduced in the New Testament? No. We've been studying the cycles of chastisement for months, whatever now. Where does confession of sins originate in Israel's program? Leviticus 26, exactly. All the way through Israel's history. The prescription for cleansing. The prescription for becoming part of that little flock. The remnant being restored, like Daniel, was always to do what? Confess their sins. That's what... Go ahead.
If we confess our sins in this verse, I know that they had to confess their sins and the sins of their fathers.
Yes.
And that's what Daniel did.
Yes.
Are they doing that here?
That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah, yeah. That's correct.
But the sins of their fathers.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So what you have is you've got somebody who maybe hadn't made up their mind as to whether or not Christ is the Messiah. They're coming along and they're reading, for example, Hebrews, and then they read James, and then they read Peter. Because, you know, there's a sequence of information here, right? And they come to 1 John, and wow, this is how I can get into true fellowship. He confesses his sins, says, Lord, I have rejected it, that Christ is the Messiah. I believe He's the Messiah now. And the promise is that God is faithful and just to forgive him, to cleanse him of all unrighteousness. That guy becomes a part of the believing remnant. He gets put into the true fellowship. He's taken out of darkness and put into light. He's taken out of that false counterfellowship and put into the true fellowship. There's a guy getting justified in the Jewish kingdom tribulation saint program. Right there in that verse. Okay? But by contrast, look at the next verse. If we say that we have not sinned, then what's true? Fundamentally, they're in darkness. He says, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. See, what's not in them at verse 8? The truth. And what's not in them at verse 10?
The truth.
The word, the truth. See that? Okay. So again, at the end of chapter number 1, John almost puts an invitation here to the Jews as to how they can get... Because he starts chapter 1 by saying, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. You look back at verse 3 again. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. See that? He wants them to become a part of the believing remnant. And he's going to tell them how. If they're rejecting God's claim against them. Let me have you... let me find this verse real quick. It's in Luke. Oh boy, you know which one I'm going to. Where are they? Luke 7. That's the one right there. Yeah. Luke 7 there? Yep, that's it right there. You can see the same idea right here. Look at Luke 7:29. 7:29 says this. It says, and all the people that heard him, heard John, that is, and the publicans, they did what? They justified God. Now, to justify, did I give you the right verse? Okay. How do you justify God? I didn't know God needed to be justified.
Claiming to be right.
Exactly correct. The word justification simply means to be declared right. So here, God was speaking through John and telling Israel that they needed to repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. So those that did come to John confessing their sins, they were what? Agreeing with God by agreeing with John. They were justifying God. How? Getting baptized with the baptism of John. They were saying, John, you're right. You're the mouthpiece of God. You're God's voice. And we agree with you, and in agreeing with you, we're agreeing with God. And they came to John. But by contrast, verse 30, but the Pharisees and lawyers, what? They rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being what? See that? By rejecting John, they're rejecting God. So now if you'll take that same principle back to 1 John...
Baptism means identify with, not John didn't baptize.
No, that was definitely water baptism. Yeah, yeah, they definitely got baptized by John. Okay, go back to 1 John now. So you can see in 1 John 1, 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, what were they saying about God? They were saying God is a liar. Yeah, and His word's not. See that? But verse 9, is there for anyone in Israel who would recognize that they had sinned and they were interested in being part of the true remnant? That's why it says at verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Those two words are key. He's faithful and He's just. He'll do what He said He would do. He would save the believing remnant because He gave them a prescription for cleansing, which was confession. And He's just. He would do it justly. Okay, those two issues. He's faithful and just to forgive us our... What's that? The remnant. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, everybody understand what she's asking? Is it, in other words, are you asking, is it personal sins or is it the sins of the group? Is that what you're asking?
Right.
That's correct. It is. Yeah. Again, because what you have, the remnant is in the light. The remnant has forgiveness. Here, the true fellowship is in the light. Over here, you have the false fellowship. The way for somebody to get out of this group in which there is no forgiveness into this group in which there is forgiveness is by that verse right there.
The we in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is talking about the nation.
Yeah, anybody in the nation. Yeah. Individuals out of the nation, they can get transferred from the false fellowship into the true fellowship because forgiveness is in the true fellowship over here. Does that clarify that? Okay, now, with that in mind, let me just do this real quick because I know we're out of time. Let me have you see, you've already seen two tests that He's given them. The location, that's verse 6 and 7, identification, see that? Light and darkness. 8, 9, and 10 is how to get out of the darkness into the light. And if somebody doesn't get in the light, why they don't get, that's okay. Now when you go to chapter 2, He clearly shifts gears a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 1 is to who? Those who are in the true fellowship. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. Here's their personal sin. And if any man sin, we, that's the believing remnant, have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See how He's shifting now to the believing remnant here? Now watch this. I'm going to give you a phrase. And your homework between now and next week, here's your homework. I want you to go and count how many times this phrase or a similar type of phrase appears. Here it is. Verse 3. And hereby we do know. Look at verse 5, the last part of the verse. Hereby know we that we are in Him. See that little phrase? Look, just skip ahead if you would. Verse 18. Last phrase after the semicolon. Whereby we what? We know. Look at verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 20. Last phrase of verse 20. Verse 21. Kind of a little bit beyond the middle of verse. Because ye know. Look over to chapter number 3, verse 14. We what? We know. Look over in that same chapter, verse 19. And hereby we what? See that? Look at the last verse, 24. Last sentence. And hereby we what? See that? Chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby ye what? There it is again. Look at verse 6. Last sentence of verse 6. Hereby know we. Verse 13. Hereby know. And I'm not going to give you all of them anyway. But you see what he's doing here? He's saying, guys, here's how you know. 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 He's given them a series of tests that they can apply to any situation to determine whether or not they're in the true fellowship. Whether or not they're talking to somebody who was a wheat or a tare, in a sense. See that? That's the purpose of 1 John. Now, why would they need this kind of information out there in that tribulation period?
They're fighting the Antichrist.
They're fighting the Antichrist, you betcha. And therefore, they need to know who, say it real loud, they need to know who they can trust. They need to know who's going to be a Judas and turn them over. Judas was among them. Judas ate this. It says, he that ate a meal with me lifted up his heel against me. See that? So this is going to equip them to be able to know who they can trust. Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that principle is true today for sure. Yeah. Sometimes you'll have, and it really is a great point, that all the Bibles, it's not all to us, but it is all for us. And that is certainly a truth here, that we need to know who's part of the believing remnant today too. That's certainly true. That's exactly right. Yeah. We were talking at the Bible study yesterday morning that most false doctrine, you know where it is? It's in the church. What's that?
In the hearts of man.
Yeah, but it's in the heart of religious people in Christianity. That's where most false doctrine is. And yes. Yeah. All right, we'll pick up here next time. I would encourage you to read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John between now and next week. It's really easy to take you 15 minutes to read it. Just read it again. But read it with that idea in mind, how John gives them the series of tests to identify who's in the true fellowship or not. Okay, and then we'll start again here in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
What's that?
Whole
we actually did. Oh, yeah.